Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now in Masachet Shvuot Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, about to investigate the dispute between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva about the validity of Shvuot Bitui for the past. Take a look back in the Mishnah, or open up your Mishnayot, take a look at Mishnah Hey, and we will see. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Eino Chayav El Al Atid Lavosh Nemar Lehara O Lehetiv. So if you're going to read it that literally, it can only be things that are strict, benefit or loss. From Shein Ben Harav Atavaminan, what about things that are benefit neutral? Rabbi Shmuel says, L'chol HaShayivatei expands it. So if it expands it that way, expands it this way. Let's take a look at the foundational brayta. Tanu Rabbanan. La'ra u'lehetiv. Ein li ela dvarim sheish ben hara'a v'hatava. Clear cut. Disadvantage or advantage. Shein ben harav hatava minayin. Tamud lomar. O nefesh ki tishava levatez v'isfatayim. That's the ribuy hakatuv mentioned in the Mishnah. Ein li ela lahaba. All I know is for the future. The shavar minayin. How do I know that an oath about the past is valid? Tamud lomar. L'chol ha'sheivatei adam ishvua. Again, an expansion. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lara O Lehetiv means Lahaba only. Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Imkein Ein Li Ela Dvarim Sheish Ben Hatava V'Hara'a, Hem Shein Ben Hara'a V'Hatava Minayin, exactly like our Mishnah. Amar Lo Rabbi Akatuv, Rabbi Bra Katuv L'Chach, Rabbi Katuv L'Chach. That is basically the Mishnah with a little bit of an addition, including the source of the Ribuy Akatuv. That's the Braita. Shaper Kamal Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Now our analysis. Rabbi Akiva had a good comeback for Rabbi Shmuel. So why does Rabbi Shmuel stick to his guns? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and this is a fabulous statement. Rabbi Yishmael sheshimesh Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, shaya doresh et kol haTorah kula bichlal uprat. Rabbi Yishmael's closest teacher, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, from the generation right around the turn of the first century, and his approach to looking at the Torah was klal uprat, meaning when he saw, or the tradition that he had was that when he saw in the Torah a general statement and specific examples, he learned them as klal uprat, meaning it's a general rule with a specific example. Iunami dorish klal uprat. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel also adopted that approach. Rabbi Akiva sheshimesh et Nachum ish Gimzo. Rabbi Akiva was a student of Nachum from Gimzo. Sheyad dorish et kol haTorah kula b'ribui umiyut. He learned it as ribui umiyut, which means every have a general statement, you learn it being as expansive, and a specific is there just to exclude one thing. So Rabbi Akiva also takes that approach. So the two great schools in the first half of the second century, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, have klal uprat versus ribui umiyut, which will lead to all sorts of disagreements. My Rabbi Akiva darish ribui umiyuti. So how does that play out in our case? The Tanya, O nefesh ki tishava, the beginning of our pasuk, riba, meaning an oath, any sort of an oath. Lahara ulehetiv miyet. That's an exception. Meaning it's an exclusive statement or an example, which therefore excludes something. L'chol ha'shevatei adam, whatever you express, chazav riba, so na riba umiyet riba. What's the midah? Riba hakol. Anytime there's a general statement with an example followed by a general statement, everything's included and one thing is excluded. My riba, riba kol mili. Any oath is included. My miyet, what's excluded? Miyet dvar mitzvah. As we're going to see in a couple of podcasts, how dvar mitzvah gets excluded. Meaning to take an oath to eat matzah, etc. Rabbi Shmuel darish klal uprat, and therefore it goes as follows: O nefesh ki tishava levatei svatayim klal l'arau leitiv prat l'chol ha'shevatei adam chazar kalal klal uprat uklal iatadan elakena prat. What's the rule of klal uprat? Is that if you have a klal, prat, and klal, the prat helps define the klal, and it's an example, not an exclusion, and therefore the klal has to follow the contours of the prat. Ma prat mfurash lahaba, just like lahara ulehitiv means about something you're going to do or going to avoid. Afkol lahaba. There we go. So now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, ahane klale la'atuya filid varm she'in ben harav atava lahaba. So the call is there to include even things that don't have clear-cut hara'ava hatava, like I'm going to go to the park, but only for commitments for the future. Ahane prata, the prat is there, limu'ute afilid varm she'esh ben harav atava, to exclude things, even clear-cut things that have a harava tava, l'shavar, if they're about the past. So, epochana, why don't I turn it up inside out and say that I'll include only clear-cut harava tava, past and future, and I'll exclude things that aren't clear-cut. So Yitzchak, we have two answers. Dumia de la rau lehetiv. It has to follow la harau lehetiv. So mishi isuro mishum bal yachel dvaro. In other words, it has to be something where you make a commitment and then you're bound by the commitment, not where you're making a statement which about something that already happened. Here the violation is not after you took the oath what you do, but rather the violation is at the point of the oath. Are you lying? Yitzchak Bravina Mari took a slightly different take, but it's really the same thing. He's reading the word lefate is to express, meaning to actuate. Therefore, the oath has to come before the actualization, as opposed to the action happening and then the oath. Okay, yatzazeh, achalti v'lo achalti, as opposed to, I ate, I didn't eat, shamaseh, kodem l'shvua. You first acted, and then you took the oath. So that's out. That's why Rabbi Shmuel says what he does, and we see that it all follows his approach of klal uprat. Now, Tana Rabbanan. We have a new piece here, a very seminal brayta about the nature of shvuat bitui. V'chol asher yivate ha'adam bishvua, and now we're taking that click, because it could have said, v'chol asher yivate bishvua. Why does it say ha'adam? Meaning you have to be an active thinking person at the time of the Shvuah. Prat la anus, as opposed to somebody who is anus, we'll see what anus means during Shvuah. It doesn't mean you took an oath, and then somebody put a gun to your head and made you eat the bread you swore you wouldn't eat. We'll see it means something else. And that says, v'ne'elam, v'ne'elam imenu. What is v'ne'elam? It became out of your awareness. Prat la mezid, as opposed to, if you are aware, mimenu, Ne'elam imenu means shintalmam imenu shvua. What is it that you forgot? You forgot the oath. Yachol shintalmam imenu chayfetz. I might think that the object itself became, you became unaware of it, and we'll see what that means. Talmud Omar b'shvua v'ne'elam. Therefore it says b'shvua v'ne'elam, just like Rabbi Akiva's limud, v'ne'elam v'tame v'ne'elam. So it has to be a tuma on helam tuma. Here it's helam shvua. You're not chayav if you forgot about the object. We'll see what that means. Now let's take this entire piece apart. Amar. Hadam bishvua patlanus. Hey chidami, what's that? Rav Kahana Rav Asi. It's a story about two students of Rav. Ki havu kaimim kamei de Rav. They were studying in front of Rav. Mar amar shvua tadachem Rav. Mar amar shvua tadachem Rav. They disagreed about what Rav taught in some subject. And each took a shvua that they were right. Ki atu the kamei de Rav. Then they came to Rav. And they presented their reports. Amar kachad minau. He said one of you is right. We don't know which one. We don't care. Amar leidach. The other one said, "Ma'ana v'shikri shtavi." Am I now liable for shvuat sheker? Amar le leibchan sach. Your heart was ones you. Meaning, at the time, you didn't know that what you were saying was wrong, and therefore that's called ones. So therefore, what is hadam b'shvuah prat lanus? Meaning, if you take a shvuah and at the time you really thought that you were right, it's not a violation. V'ne'elam imenu, what's that? She needs alem mimenu shivua. So that being, achoz ne'elam imenu chayvitz, abodomar shivua v'ne'elam imenu alhelam shivua chayav v'ne'elam chayav alhelam chayvitz. That's the quote. Machachu alevim arava. This breita, in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at it. And they said the following, bishtama shivua mishkachat la below chayvitz. I understand how you could forget about the shivua without the chayvitz, without the object. Ngon demar shivua shlo ochal patchitin. You took an oath not to eat wheat bread, and you made the mistake and thought you may have committed to eat wheat bread. You forgot your shua. You remember that it was about wheat bread, you just forgot what you said about wheat bread. So they're interpreting Helam Chayfetz as being not that you forgot what this object was in front of you, but rather you forgot what object you mentioned in the shua. How could you forget the chayfetz, but not the shvua? Gonda mar shvua shlo ochal patchitin of chazavur shusorim kamar. That's easy. You took an oath and you said, I'm not going to eat patchitin, but you thought you said seorim. The shvuate dochirle. You remembered you made an oath about bread, chefza inshi, but you forgot. So in other words, as opposed to saying, I forgot whether I committed to eating or not eating, you remember that you committed to eating, but you forgot what the object that you committed about was. But that's Helam Shvua. Because Helam Shvua doesn't just mean I forgot I made a Shvua, it means I forgot what the Shvua was. So if you forgot the Shvua was about eating wheat bread, that's Helam Shvua. There is no Helam Chayfetz. That's why in Eretz Yisrael they laughed at this. Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar, in Eretz Yisrael, Elazar ben Pedat said, Do v'do achati. Which we understand to mean that Helam Shvua and Helam Chayfetz are all one thing, and there is no such thing as, this is the way some Rishonim understand it, and there is no such thing as Helam Chayfetz, and you're always Chayav here. Matgar Rav Yosef. So in Bavel, Rav Yosef challenged this. He says, Alma Chayfetz below Shvua, lo Mishkachat La? Why do you think that it's not possible to have Helam Chayfetz? Mishkachat Langon Damar Shvua Shalo Ochal Patchitin. You made an oath. Now here, he's going to read Helam Chayfetz not as being that you forgot about the Chayfetz in your Shvua, but you forgot about the Chayfetz in reality, meaning, Damar Shvua Shalo Ochal Patchitin. You took an oath not to eat Patchitin. Wheat bread, Voshit Yadola Sali to a pot serin, and you reached into a basket and there were some breads there and you wanted to grab out barley bread. Vialtabi Yado Shochitin, you ended up grabbing wheat bread. You thought it was wheat barley bread. Somebody told you there's a basket of barley bread, you reached it, and it turns out it's really wheat bread. Dishwate Dachirle, the whole time you remembered your oath. Cheftzahudalo Yadale, you didn't know about the Chayfetz. Here he's interpreting it differently. Not that you didn't know about the Chayfetz in the Shvuah, you remembered your everything about the Shvuah. You just were confused about what you had in your hands. Amar le Abaye, Abaye then says to his Rebbe, Klum machayve le korban ella amai de tofis biadei. You only chayve for the korban for what you have in your hand. So helam shvuah. That's helam shvuah because you're mistaken about the shvuah. So leish nachrina amar le Abaye of Yosef, sof sof korban de kamaiti ella the high pot. You bring a korban for this bread. Now helam shvuah. It's still helam shvuah. In other words, he's saying, this is not called Helam Chayfetz. What he's defending is the Eretz Yisrael approach of disregarding that braita, saying there is no such thing as Helam Chayfetz, because Helam Chayfetz has to be that you forgot about what the item was in the Shvuah, but that's Helam Shvuah. Rav Yosef, what's Rav Yosef's answer? Amalacha kevan d'chiyadale l'chitinhu parishmine, because after all, if they would tell you, by the way, that's wheat bread, you'd walk away from it. So therefore, since the only thing blocking you from keeping your Shvuah is your ignorance of the reality of what you have in your hand, Helam Chayfetz, that's called Helam Chayfetz. So Ba'amine Rav Rav Nachman, so Rav asked his Rebbe, Helam Zevezebi Adomahu, and it's exactly what we had back on Daf Yud Tet in the context of Rebbe Kiva's Shita about Helam Tuma. If you forgot both, meaning according to this approach, that Helam Chayfetz, you're not chayiv for, what happens if you forgot both? Meaning you forgot you took the oath, and you also weren't aware of what you had in your hands. Amar le hare helam shvuah biyadov chayav. And this is exactly what he had in Daf Yud Tet. He said, you're chayiv because you forgot about the shvuah. So Rav answered Rav Nachman, Adrav hare helam chayfetz biyadov patur. You forgot about the chayfetz. So that should be poter. So Rav Ashi says the same thing he said there. Chazinam, let's take a look. Imach mat shvuah kaparish, if we tell him, if when we would say to him, you took a shvuah, he would step away. He forgot about the shvuah. But if on the other hand we would tell him, hey, that's wheat bread, he would walk away. He must have forgotten about the chayfetz. Upatur. So Ravina answered just like he answered there. Amrle Ravina, the Ravashi. Klum parish mishvuah, l'mishum chayfetz, klum parish mechayfetz, l'mishum shvuah. They're one and the same. If you tell a guy, hey, that's wheat bread, and he walks away, it's because he also remembers the shvuah. And if you say to him, hey, you took a shvuah, and he walks away, it's because he remembers that this is the chayfetz he took the shvuah about. So the two are really intertwined. Ella loshna. And then we had a machlok rishonim there, and the same machlok rishonim here, about whether loshna means we end up saying that really you're chayav, or it's kind of a teku. Okay, ba mine rava mirav nachman. So rava asked Rav Nachman, Ezu ishingat shvuat bitui l'sha'avar. What is shingat shvuat bitui? Meaning, our entire context of shvuat bitui with Olav Yored is about shkaga. So I understand shkaga l'haba, meaning I took a shvuat that I won't eat bread, and then I forgot about it, I ate bread, so I have to bring a korban. What is shvuat bitui l'sha'avar? Where's the shogeg there? Idiyada, if when you took the shvuah you knew you really ate and you said you didn't eat, mezidu, that's mezi. Idiloyada, if you didn't, then onusu, based on what we said earlier with the students of Rav, that's called onus. You forgot that you ate bread. Samarle be'omer yodeani sheshvuazu asura. Here's the case where you say, I know that this kind of oath is asur. Haval eni yodeim chayavin ala korban olav, but I don't know if you're chayav a korban for violating it. So, kiman, kimunbaz, that only follows Munbaz's approach, who we saw in the seventh parak of Shabbat, Tamar Shingar Korban Shema Shingaga, that if you know today is Shabbat and you know this thing is Asur, but you don't know that you'll be Chayav a Korban, that's called Shogeg. In other words, awareness of everything but the consequence is still called Shogeg. No, the answer is Afilu Teimer Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan might agree. Ad Kan Lo Plig Rabbanan Alei Demunbaz. They disagree with him. Ela B'chol HaTorah Kula Tolav Chidushu. They disagree with him in Shabbos and Chaylev and everywhere else where there's no Chidush that you're Chayav. V'hacha De Chidushu. Why? The B'chol HaTorah Kula Lo Ashkachan Lav De Mighty Korban. There's no place in the Torah where you violate a simple lav and you bring a korban. We learn from Avodah Zarah that you only bring a korban when it's something that b'mezid you chayev karet for. But here there's a chidush that something that b'mezid, it's a lav, b'shogeg you bring a korban. So therefore, your lack of awareness of a korban is a bigger shogeg because it's a bigger staple of what's happening here. Afilu Rabbanan Modu, the Rabbanan might agree that that's called shogeg. So therefore, if you knew that you ate yesterday, and you took an oath that you didn't eat yesterday, but you didn't know that you'd be chayiv a korban for that, that's called shogeg, and you're chayiv a korban. So he asked him as follows, let's say you took an oath not to eat a loaf of bread, and then that next day, that's all you've got there, and you're dying if you don't eat it. Mahu. Mistaken, let's sure they are. That's certainly moter, because pikuach nefesh. Let's say that it was a different case. The next day, you were really hungry. You weren't dying, but you're really hungry. And you ate it, and you had forgotten about the Shavua Mai. Are you chayev for as korban olivioid because of shogeg? Or do we say, because even if you'd remember the Shavua, you might have eaten it because you were in such hunger pangs, that you're not chayev? Right, Tanina, let's see. Shav mi diato mi vi korban al shingato. When you suddenly remember, meaning that you would not have done it when you remembered you had a shvua, then you bring a korban. Lo shav mi diato, but if you remembered you had made a shvua, you still wouldn't have acted any differently. Ein mi korban al shingato. Meaning the whole point of shogeg is you bring a korban because of what you don't know, and if you knew, you wouldn't have done it. So therefore here, since he might have done it or would have done it, nonetheless, there's no korban. Tamar Shmuel, watch this. Gamar b'libot tzarich shiotzi b'sfatav. Even though you made a commitment in a shvua, you have to explicate it and enunciate it. Shenemar, Levate visfatayim, to express with your lips. Meiteve, watch this challenge. Visfatayim v'lo b'lev. We learn that visfatayim says not in your heart. Kamar b'libo minayin. But what happens if you made an absolute commitment in your heart? Tamalom al-chol ha-shevate adam b'shvua. Any kind of commitment to a shvua. That's what we're reading it. So haguf akasha, that's not only a challenge to Shmuel, it's an inherent contradiction. Amar visfatayim v'lo b'lev. So first you said, it has to be expressed. Vadamar kamar b'libo minayin. And then you said a commitment, an internal commitment, is valid. Moshe should halokasha. Hachi kamar. This is the first way to answer it. Bisfatayim v'lo shama kamar b'libo lotzi bisfatav v'lo tzi. Meaning it that bisfatayim means that you had to say it, as opposed to when you committed to saying it, didn't yet say it. Meaning your commitment was, I'm going to say the shvu, and you didn't yet say it. Kamar b'libo stam minayin. What happens if you just made a commitment without committing to say it? Tamulomar l'chol asher yivate, meaning that there is room to say that an internal commitment to something is a commitment, and that the only limitation of sfatayim is to say that if you committed to say it and you didn't yet say it, then it's not valid. So now we've solved the internal contradiction, but we still have a challenge to Shmuel, who said you have to express it, the Shmuel Kasha. So Rav Sheshet now backs off and he explains the bright a little differently. Bisfatayim v'lo shegamar b'libo lotzi pat chitin v'lotzi pat sorin. Bisfatayim means that you have to express what you thought. So if you thought you're going to make a commitment not to eat wheat bread, and instead you said barley bread, or gamar b'libo lotzi pat chitin v'lotzi pat staminai, but what happens if you intended to say pat chitin and you just said pat? How do we know that works? So now it's a whole different piece. Everybody agrees you got to enunciate it. The question is, how much does your enunciation have to fit with what you thought? So if your enunciation is in direct contradiction to what you thought, there's no shvua. But if your enunciation is just a more general version of what you thought and does not directly contradict it, it's valid. Okay, and so Shmuel is still sitting fine, and that is, you have to express it. The question is, how much does it have to jive with what you thought? Meitive, watch this challenge. This is a pasuk in Parsha Ki Teitze that talks about Nidre Hektesh, that you make a commitment to bring a korban, you have to do it. Ein li elo shotzi bisfatav, kamar b'libo minayin. What happens, that the pasuk says, Motzas Fatecha, that you said it with your lips. What happens if you didn't say it with your lips, but you just made a commitment to do it? Talmud Lomar kol nadiv lev. Therefore it says, anybody who is, and this is in the gift to the Mishkan, anybody who is volunteering with his heart, meaning even a commitment in your heart. Shani hatam nechtiv kol nediv lev. So that's different because you have kol nediv lev, so you have a very clear statement that says, when it comes to kodshim, when it comes to donations to the mikdash, an internal commitment is enough. V'nigmar mina, so why don't we learn from there the shvuot also? The answer is, mishum davu truma v'kodshim shnei tuvim v'im keachad. Here we're showing a little divide in the Tosfot direction, which is truma is the last pasuk on the page, v'nachshav lachem trumatchem, for we know that you can mafish truma v'machshava. You can come to the Kri and say, and in your mind say, whatever's on the north side is truma, and it works. And so truma and kodshim are shnei tuvim v'im keachad. So this pasuk called Nediv Lev and the Shav Lachem Torachem are two ktuvim, and therefore they cannot be used as a model for inference. So Hanech Lamandavayin Malamdin, that only works according to the Mandamar that says Shnei Ktuvim Vayim Keachad and Malamdin. But Rabbi Yehuda says Malamdin Ma'ikal Memar. So what would he do here? So the answer is Havuchulin Mekodshim. The answer is that this is in Kodshim, and you cannot infer from Kodshim to Shvuot, which is Chulin. So just the fact that Machshava works, take a look at the beginning of the sugya at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, just because Machshava is valid in the context of Kodshim doesn't mean we can apply it to Chulin. Chulin Mikodshim Lo Gamrinan. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.